Hey, God, we speak to you, God, and we call you out, God, as our Creator, Father, as our Father. We thank you for all that you do for us. God, we call out Jesus, God, over all the situations in our life. And today, Father, Lord Jesus, we call out Holy Spirit to be our comforter and our peace. And we thank you for that, God. Be with us today. I pray Holy Spirit would move in a mighty way today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God is so good. Praise God. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Praise God. This is Pentecost. It's Memorial Sunday, honestly. And we do want to remember those who have passed and gone on in service. And we honor them today 100%. And we're thankful for their service. We're so thankful for that. But also today, we want to remember the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 261 times in the New Testament and is one of the fastest growing movements in America today. Matter of fact, did you know in 2013 there were 160 million Spirit-filled Catholics? Yeah. And there's over 500 million Spirit-filled believers today. And so if you're like me, when you were a child, you were probably scared of the Holy Spirit. When you were a teenager, you might have been scared of the Holy Spirit. Or at least you were scared to invite your friends when the Holy Spirit came and was there. Some of you adults might still be scared when you invite family members or visitors, right? But I proclaim to you today, I am 100% positive. The only reason people are scared of the Holy Spirit is because they don't understand it. And if you understand Him, you may never even seek Him. You may not desire the gift of the Holy Spirit. I hope you do, because there's power in that. But even if you don't desire that, you will understand it. It won't scare you. And after today, you will be able to explain it. I want you to understand it. I preached this a couple years ago, I believe, and I want to preach part of it again, because I want you to really understand who the Holy Spirit is. Because I just think because here's the problem. People don't see Him. They think He's Casper the Ghost or something. They don't see Him as a person. Do you know Holy Spirit is God? God the Father. God the Son. And God, Holy Spirit. So He is God. And once we can understand that, He's part of the Trinity. He's not spooky and kooky, right? And that we can understand who He is. See, Holy Spirit is referred to in Scripture as a whole lot of things. One is that one I love is fire. That's what I got red on today. On Pentecost Sunday, they say you were going to wear red. So I did. And it's zeal and refining power. You ever heard of someone that's got gold? How do they melt gold? They melt gold down with a fire, right? They melt gold down with a fire. And when you melt gold, it becomes liquid. All the dross or the impurities of that gold float to the top. And then the smith takes it and scrapes all the impurities off of the top, and then all of a sudden you have pure gold. So when we are going through the fire of tribulation, the fire of being refined, the fire of trials that are in our lives, situations and circumstances, we're going through that fire, we can know that God is using that for our impurities in our lives to rise up to the top, so we can say, God, look what I found. This is not supposed to be in me. I'm supposed to be pure and holy before you, God. So therefore, I want all of the impurities that are in me, I want to give it to you. I want to cast it and let God just skim them off of you and take them from you. Another way that the Holy Spirit is shown in the Bible is as a dove, you know, gentleness and comforting. And so the thing is that whenever you have the dove come, matter of fact, when Jesus was baptized, the dove, Holy Spirit dove, came down. Holy Spirit dove came down and began to, and it says that the Holy Spirit came as a dove. Now, also, Holy Spirit is known as water, life-giving and infinite. Life-giving, like water is all life-giving. It gives water, it gives life-giving. And then also you have oil, which is consecration or the anointing power. If you hear somebody say, hey, have you got your oil? They're talking about the anointing in us. And 1 John says every one of us has anointing. Every one of you in this room has a level of anointing. And then as you go through the fire, your anointing increases. Right? Also, he's also known as the wind, the resurrection power. And the seal, redemption and keeping power. He's also known as earnest, the ownership or guarantee. Whenever you have put down earnest money on a house, it's earnest money. See, the Holy Spirit is our earnest money. And then rain and dew, life-giving, quickening, refreshing, invigorating. That's who Holy Spirit is to us. And he's also definitely a gift, joyful, gracious, and liberating. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21 tells us that he is authority of Scripture. It says, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by Holy Spirit and spoke from God. See, God uses the Holy Spirit as an avenue to speak to us. Matter of fact, in John 14, 15 through 18, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I, the Father, will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him not. But ye know him, and he dwells in you, and shall be in you, and I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So he says, I got to go. Jesus had to leave. He said, I got to go. I'm your comfort right now. When you're with Jesus, you know, you're like, man, this is my boy, this is my protector. He's there. He's got me. He does miracle signs and wonders. He's got the power of God. When I'm with him, I'm comforted. I don't worry. I'm okay. I have all this faith. But he's leaving. Now what? He said, look, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to let this feeling leave you. I'm going to leave a comforter, which is Holy Spirit, to be with you. 1 John 14, 1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. We receive Holy Spirit whenever we get salvation because we receive Jesus in our heart, or we accept Jesus in our heart, right? And we accept God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit applied to our lives. But Scripture says that Jesus left this earth and ascended into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, God. So God the Father and God the Son are in heaven. Jesus is not in our heart. Holy Spirit is in our heart. He left the Comforter for us. Jesus himself in flesh is now in heaven, and Holy Spirit is in us and through us to guide, to help us, to spiritually give us peace and comfort and all these things, to teach us. You know, and he only speaks what the Father says. And so he has all these gifts. So once we receive Christ, once we have Christ applied to our lives, and we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit comes in, and then he comes in as a part of the Trinity. But that's like pouring a glass of water over your head. Okay, you got you're wet now, right? But then receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit is like being thrown out into the ocean. There's a whole lot more involved, right? Because the Holy Spirit in Greek comes from paraclete, known to be called alongside, to pair. Acts 1 and 8 says, Jesus Christ himself said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power. Power. And that word is dunamis in the Greek. Dunamis, which means power, is where we get our word dynamite from. So Holy Spirit is dynamite, right? You know, but we look at Holy Spirit as just tongues. Everybody's like, well, you're the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden, when you say, oh, I'm baptized in the Spirit, all you think about is tongues. And so many people look at it that way. And it's really more than that, because Jesus Christ himself said that you shall receive power when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Tongues is just a piece of the puzzle. It's just one of the benefits of it. In Acts 2 and 4, there's 120 people in the upper room. Okay? But the thing is 1 Corinthians 15 says there was about 500 people he was speaking to, you know, during the time he was getting ready to leave. So about 500 people went to the upper room, but only 120 stayed. Because Jesus said, go and wait. Go and tarry. He warned them to go and tarry and wait for him. And what that did was that weeded out everybody that wasn't willing to wait. And that's why a lot of people today don't receive from God what they want, because we're on this little time limit. And if it's not done in my time, I'm done, I'm giving up, I'm quitting. Sometimes it takes God time to work on things, especially based on how deep-rooted they are. Sometimes it takes time for God to fix things in your life and in your family and your friends and your relationships and your finances. It takes time. It just doesn't happen like that. So he said, go and tarry. And those 120 went and tarried. You know, that's why, actually, Pentecost Sunday is 50 days after Easter. That's where pentagram, five sides, right? Pentecost, that's where it comes from, is that it's 50 days after. And so they went into the upper room, and Holy Spirit came and ministered to them. So first of all, the biggest thing is that Holy Spirit is not a it. He's not a it. He's not a ghost. He's not Casper. He's not a fairy tale. He's not a thing. He's a person. He's a third person of the Trinity. And he dwells in us. And he, you know, being accepting him as our Lord and Savior is being dwells in us at the time of salvation, but Holy Spirit at that time lives in you. But whenever you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it flows out of you. So he's in us at salvation. He flows out of us when we're baptized. And so the thing is we got to be careful whenever we are seeking Holy Spirit, because we got to need to understand who he is. And some people think that Holy Spirit is weird and he's different, and they're like, I don't understand this, and they don't seek him. They're scared of it. They're offended by it. And some people even say that it's not of God because they don't understand it. And God wants you to understand it, and once you understand it, you'll be more willing to pursue it. You know, and I've told a lot of people, they're like, well, I just don't know about the Holy Ghost thing. I say, well, here it is. Let me ask you this. Do you want all that God has for you? Yes. Do you think that God would ever offer you anything that was not good? No. Why would he offer you anything that was not from him if he's God giving it to you? He would only give you something that is his, that is good for you. And that Jesus Christ said, if you receive this, you'll have power. So I tell them, I say, okay, if you don't understand it and you don't know about it, then all you got to pray to God is, God, I want all of you. I want everything you have for me. If it's from you, I want it. Even though I don't quite understand it and it's different for me and I'm kind of scared of it, if it's from you, I want it. And then you'll know at the time that God will bless you with it. He will give you to, because it's a gift, just like salvation is. It's a gift. You don't have to fight for it. See, God the Father is God. He's our Father. He's our disciplinarian, right? He disciplines. And he created us. And one day he will judge us. Now, Jesus is the Son of God. He's our brother. He takes up for us. He fights for us. He intercedes for us. He goes to God and says, hey, God, don't do that. Hey, don't kill them. I died so they don't have to. And then you got Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a mother figure. It nourishes you. Holy Spirit nourishes you, convicts you, comforts you, guides you, teaches you, learns you. And in John 14:16, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as a person. He says, I pray to the Father. And he, the Father, will give you another comforter. And he, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, may abide in you forever. He abides in us. Ephesians 4:30 and 32 says he can be grieved. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he is identified as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, and all, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So it's talking about grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Do not quench the Spirit." Quenching the Spirit, you've heard that before. Don't quench the Spirit. People say, "Well, wow, how do I do that?" Well, don't stifle. Don't stifle the Spirit. The Greek for quench means to extinguish, like a fire extinguisher would extinguish a fire. Don't put it out. Don't hinder him. Don't stop his work. If Holy Spirit's trying to move, we should not hold him back. If he's trying to speak, we shouldn't allow him not to speak. Whenever he's trying to move in a service, we shouldn't say, no, God, now's not the time. Now's not the place. You know, we got visitors and all this. We got to allow God to move when he wants them to be moved. And then a lot of people are concerned about the word blasphemy, you know, in Matthew when it talks about blasphemy. And blasphemy is really defined as defiant irreverence or rebellion. See, the Pharisees witnessed with irrefutable proof that Jesus Christ performed miracles by the Holy Spirit. And they said that he had a demon, okay? And Jesus said, because of what you have said, he said, because of what you were saying that he has an impure spirit, that's blasphemy. And so therefore, we don't have to worry about blasphemy because Jesus is not here on earth, and we're not going to look at him and say what you just did was you got a devil in you, right? So therefore, we don't have to worry about blasphemy. We're not going to be able to blaspheme the Holy Spirit because of the fact that Jesus is not here. And let's just say it goes on to saying that you're looking at somebody else and say that they do a miracle or they say that they have a demon. Well, so we're not going to do that because we understand God. And some people try to do that. Some people even try to blaspheme God because they want hell and they're atheists and all this. But then you have what I was really concerned about all my life as a child was the unpardonable sin. You know, they're saying, well, that's an unpardonable sin. You can't do that. Well, to resist the conviction and willfully remain unrepentant is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Okay? See, the unpardonable sin, the only time God will never forgive you is when you quit asking. Okay? So the unpardonable sin is a constant state of unbelief. As long as you do not believe in God, you will not be forgiven, ever. But the moment you turn and believe God, you can be forgiven. So the unpardonable sin is an unpardonable sin. You cannot be forgiven if that happens. But when you turn to God, you can be forgiven. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11 talks about spiritual gifts. And it says a spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help one another. To one, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, spirit of wisdom. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge, the gift of knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, the gift of faith. To another, Spirit gives the gift of healing, gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, miracles and signs and wonders. Another, the ability to prophesy and to get the prophecy. He gives another the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or another spirit, and that's the gift of discernment. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is one Spirit who distributes all these gifts. One Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which person which gift each person should have. So everybody has a gift, and you got to ask God what your gift is. God, what is my gift? Because the Scripture says he gives his gifts so he so everly will. So he may give you a gift now, but then later on he may give you another gift to use. He does not just necessarily all the time give someone just one gift. Sometimes you flow with different gifts. Ask God, you need God too. And so the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. But it's more than that. People think that, well, Holy Spirit, that's just all about the gift is the tongues, but it's more. All these other gifts are gifts of the Spirit equal to the tongues. The Holy Spirit is a gift to the believers. Luke 11, 11 through 13 says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So he's saying, look here, if you're evil, and if your son asks for a snake, I mean, asks for a gift, some bread, you ain't going to give him a snake or a stone. So why would God, the good God, not give you what you want when you want it, especially if it's from him and it's a gift from him? He has a gift for you. It's like your mom or dad or a friend saying, hey, I have a gift for you, but I'm not giving it to you. You know, what then is it a gift? Yes, it's for you. I'm not giving it to you. Here's a snake. You know, it's not how it works. James 1 and 7 says every good and perfect gift comes from God. So all the gifts that we have in our lives, not just a spiritual gift, any gift that we get in our lives that we feel good about God did something in our lives, all the blessings are from God above. Now, here's something that I want you to hear. God's gift to sinners is Jesus. Amen? Now, God's gift to believers is the Holy Spirit. That's good right there. Let me tell you. So God's gift to sinners, when you're a sinner, hey, what's the gift you have for me, God? I got Jesus. Okay, I'm a Christian. You got another gift for me? Yes, I got Holy Spirit. Amen. And we all have that if we want it. You see, and as long as you see Holy Spirit as a presence, as a Casper and a ghost, or as this thing, or this it, you and not the third person of the Godhead, you will never benefit from it. You have to see Him as a person and a third person of the Godhead and as God Himself, and know that He is God. Then you can benefit from it. If you just see Him as His presence, you'll never really benefit from Him. You just wait for Him to show up. He's the voice of God ready to talk. Whenever the Holy Spirit speaks to us in our spirit, in our gut, in our presence, in our heart, in our spirit, then that is God speaking to you. He says, I don't speak nothing unless the Father tells me. So it's not like He's like, hey, this God ain't listening. Let's do this. No. No. When He speaks, it's God speaking. When He speaks, God is speaking. And He will not force Himself on you. He is a gentleman. If you are a meek and mild and quiet person, don't think you're going to get up and run the back of the pews and run around the church. Because He's not going to interrupt your character. Now, you will, because you've received the Holy Spirit, you will be more bold. I mean, if you just all the time just stand there like this, and you never worship or never doing anything, maybe, you know, which you should, but if you don't, then maybe Holy Spirit will help you to do this. You know what I'm saying? I'm bold today, man. I'm feeling bold. I'm going to carry the TV, you know. Small TV, then the big TV, right? You know? And so would you do that? And then after, you know, the boldness of, but He's not going to push nothing on you. He's not going to make you shake, rattle, and roll with us, none of your personality, right? He will not make you do anything that you don't want to do. The Spirit says, the Spirit is subject to the prophet. That means you have the power to control it. You know, if we're in a very private, quiet moment, and we're all in here, and then all of a sudden it's not Holy Spirit, it's just you in your private prayer language, we'll talk about in a minute, and you start screaming it out, and there's no tongue interpretation, that's what Scripture's saying. Hey, you just had zeal. You were so excited God was touching you. You just let it, but the Spirit is subject to the prophet. You have control of that to be able to bring it. Now, I know there are times when the Spirit's really moving and moving in everybody. You just can't control anything, right? You just got to let it go, and I understand that. But I'm just talking about it says the Spirit is subject to the prophet. So He's not. You have a free will. You know, you have that ability to do that. So whenever Holy Spirit is here, that's why you see me jumping a lot. I love God, and I just want to jump in His Spirit and jump and raise my hands and worship Him. But I want to tell you, people say, Holy Spirit, He's weird, man. It's weird. Let me tell you. I'm going to give you some prophecy. I'm going to give you some facts. Hashtag facts. Holy Spirit is not weird. People are. Okay? You know, when you see people do things that you think that are weird, that are crazy, I've seen it. I'm like, oh my gosh. That's people's reaction to the Holy Spirit. If you stick your finger in that socket over there, you know, I use this all the time, but if you stick your finger in that socket, some people come back and say, ow. Some people say, bleep, you know. And, you know, and then some people say, oh, praise God, thank you, hallelujah. Some people just fall back on the ground just because it just shocked them out. Some people go, ooh, glory, you know. Some people are shaking. Some people are like, oh my God, you know, whatever. But different people react differently. If I tell you a joke, Jason may just go, you know. Candace may just fall on the floor laughing. It's the same joke, you know. And then Gina may be, you know. So when Holy Spirit touches people, they react differently. Some just, you know, and it tends to be, the more God delivers you from something, the more you react. If you were a drug addict, or you were an alcoholic, or if you were all these things out in the world, sometimes they have a little tendency to act a little bit more excited whenever God. But you know why? Because they know where they came from. And when they feel the Spirit of God, they know that He was not there and they were on their way to hell. And now they feel the Holy Spirit in them and they react, you know, appropriately. You know, so some people may, like I said, some people may do a little dance or whatever, do a little jig. Somebody may raise their hands or whatever. But it's different people acting in different ways. But people in the church look at people and judge them. First off, if you were focused on God, you wouldn't see nobody else. Okay? Second thing is, nobody had a problem with Elvis when he was up there doing what he did. And all these women screaming and throwing stuff and just falling on the floor fainting. Okay? You can faint for Elvis, but you can't fall out of the Spirit, right? You know? Taylor Swift, same way. Everybody acts crazy over here. They just go crazy over her, right? And they just do crazy things. But whenever it happens to, you know, because God touches you, because if, you know, Taylor Swift or Elvis or somebody, he would touch women and they were like, ah, just faint, you know. But when God touches you, you're supposed to stand there like a man and a woman and just resist and be like, amen, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know? Just thank you. Appreciate that. That was very good. Very exhilarating. But, you know, but we got to understand. So you understand that's people's reaction. Now, people do get out of hand. We are flesh. So sometimes when the Spirit hits you, some people act in the flesh. And I've seen that. So I've seen people run around a church and we had double doors like that. And they hit them back doors and broke their wrists. I'm like, that wasn't God. Ain't no way that was God. You broke your wrist hitting that door so hard. You know, I've seen people go run around a church, and they go to the corner of the church. I see the man fall right through that, not through the, at another church, fall right through the sheetrock, right? Boom, right. He couldn't turn, make the turn. You know, I was like, oh my Lord. So this, but I have, the Spirit of God has hit me before. You know them old pews they had, and I have fallen out right on the corner of one of them pews, on the seam in that pew. It hit right here in the center of my head, right on the center of that head, and didn't even ever have a knot. Never have a bruise. Never have any pain. Never even have a headache. So when God's really in it, it's going to be okay. Now, if there are, people's like, well, that's just crazy. And if you really start preaching and allowing God to move in your church, you're going to have some wildfire. I'd rather have wildfire that I can contain and say, you're out of line, you're out of order, than have a bunch of wet wood and nobody worships God and Spirit don't move at all. Amen. I can deal with somebody. I can teach somebody that says, you know what? Hey, man, you know, they're going crazy. They're doing just crazy stuff. And they're just acting out of the flesh rather than Spirit. I can teach them. You know why? They're not doing it on purpose. They're not doing it to be seen. They're not doing it to be crazy. They just don't know. They don't know the Spirit substitute the prophet. And there's a right time and a wrong time and this and that and the other. I can teach them that with the Spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit. But I would so much rather have that than just everybody staring like you know, a bunch of popsicles. You know? Just doing that. I want God to move. I want Him to move. I desire Him. We are in the culture revival, and God has been moving. We've had so much happen, and God is doing it, and it's going to only intensify. But also, Holy Spirit will not stop you from sinning. You still have a free will. The choice is yours. He's not going to make you stop sinning. You have to choose yourself. John 16, 12 through 15. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own, but will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever He receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from me. So you see the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit only says what the Father says through Jesus. Now, there's three baptisms. One is baptism unto salvation, okay? And the second one is baptism in water. And then the third one is baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so 1 Corinthians 12, 13, baptism unto salvation. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, salvation. Whether Jews or Greek, slave or free, we have all been made to drink of one Spirit. We are all baptized into salvation. When you get saved, you are baptized into salvation. As good then, Mark on Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, we're baptized in water. It says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, right? Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you to the end of the earth. So it says baptizing them in water. So I'm going to baptize in water there. And then Acts 1 and 5. For John truly baptized with water. Again, it's referring to the water baptism. But you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days since. Hence. Now. From now. King James says hence or since or something. Okay. But this is not many days from now. So that's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you got to talk. The Holy Spirit, when you have the gift of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it does four things for you. Okay. It does a whole lot of things. But there's four things that it's used for. Let me rephrase that. There's four things the Holy Spirit is used for. Number one is private prayer. If you, you know, let me read 1 Corinthians 14, 2 and 3. If you praise Him in the private language of tongues, God understands you, but nobody else does. You are sharing intimacies just between you and Him. When you proclaim His truth in everyday speech, you are letting others in on the truth so that you can grow and be strong and experience His presence with you. So that's a private prayer language. That's when you're sitting here in church and they're doing worship and you're just worshiping in tongues. The Holy Spirit just comes on you and it's communion between you and God. The devil does not understand it. It's the only thing in the whole world that you can say or do the Holy Spirit has no clue what's going on, because it's the Holy Spirit in your heart praying for you to the Father, directly to the Father. It's a direct communication line between you and the Holy Spirit and God the Father. And that's a private prayer language. So you may be praying in that private prayer language. You know, you do it at home. You may do it in the car. You may do it just during worship. It's just a prayer language that you have, right? Okay, number two, the second thing, you have a private prayer language, and then you have intercession. Okay, that's in Romans 8:26. And Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. So sometimes you may wake up in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden you just begin praying. You feel like you need to pray for somebody, you don't know who, and all of a sudden you just begin to pray in the Spirit. Then the next morning someone says, oh, I almost got in a car wreck at 3 o'clock in the morning, or whatever. You're like, oh, I was praying and interceding for somebody at that time. So sometimes that's how it happens. Sometimes you're interceding for somebody else with groanings. This is something that I have done, and whenever Holy Spirit really moves in me, a lot of times I do. Typically, it's for y'all or my family or for the church. But it's like a pain here in my stomach, and it's not a physical pain. I don't feel a physical pain. It's like a spiritual pain. I don't know how to explain it, but it's like a spiritual pain, and I just groan. I'm just like, I can't speak. All I can do is go, it's just like a groan, you know, when something hurts your body, like, oh, you know, and it's like, oh, it's a groan that can't be explained, and there's no interpretation for it. It's just a pain that you're feeling, and you're interceding for someone else, okay? And then you have number three, building up of the spirit man, 1 Corinthians 14:4. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but the one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the whole entire church. So what it's saying is when you're speaking in tongues, you're building yourself up. Okay, whenever you're getting ready to go on stage, or you're getting ready to preach, or you're getting ready to talk to somebody, you're getting ready to go to a job interview, sometimes maybe you just can sit there and talk to the Holy Spirit and pray and pray in the Spirit, and it builds your spirit man up, and then you're ready to go. A lot of times when I'm on the front row up here, I'm praying, I'm interceding, a lot of times I'm praying in the Spirit, and sometimes you'll even hear maybe little portions of it. You know, I try not to do it in the microphone just because it's not for you, it's for me. Everything I say on this microphone, I want it to be for you. So, but sometimes you may hear a little bit where I feel like the Holy Spirit's just encouraging me, building me up. You know, a lot of times I'll cover up my mic because I'm just having God's just building me up for something, for some reason, like maybe an altar call or whatever. And so it's building up of the spirit man. Then it says in Jude 1:20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's why it's important, if you have the gift of Holy Spirit, to continue to pray in the Holy Spirit. Ask God to bless you and pray and do that. Number four, the fourth reason for Holy Spirit is tongues interpretation. This is more than just a gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians 14. I wish you all could speak in tongues, but I wish even more that all can prophesy. Everybody puts so much emphasis on tongues, but Paul says, man, it's better that you prophesy. Because if you speak in tongues, there has to be an interpretation and this and that and the other. But if you prophesy, the whole church hears it. The whole church understands it. But for even more, I wish you could prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you are saying so the whole church can be strengthened. So anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also for the ability to interpret what is being said. If you're praying in tongues and everybody gets quiet in the church, and you interrupted the service, or you feel like God's interrupted the service, then you need to be the first one to pray that God give me the interpretation of what just said. And then if not, maybe someone else has it. But you need to pray for it yourself if you do that and you're praying in a spirit in tongues. Speaking in tongues. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. So Paul said, man, I talk in tongues more than all y'all. He says, but in a church meeting, I'd rather speak 5 understandable words than 10,000 words in an unknown language. Because he's like, people understand that. If I'm speaking in tongues and you don't understand what it is, it does not help you. And then it says, no more than 2 or 3 should speak in tongues. They should be one at a time and must interpret what they say. So what that's saying is that, you know, you can't, if Jason, you know, and Trouble over there speaking in tongues at the same time, you know, then what happens is, Peyton, I'm sorry. If Peyton and Jason speaking in tongues at the same time, the Holy Spirit's not going to interrupt himself. He's not going to give two people a message to speak at the same time. He's going to separate that. So it says, no more one at a time and no more than three in concourse. Okay? And then after that, maybe later on in the service or another later on that day or afternoon sometime, whatever, there may be more threes, but only three at a time, and then it goes on. He's all about order. It's amazing how much order he has. So it says that you must that you pray that you interpret. But if no one is present that can interpret, then they must be silent in their church meeting and speak in tongues privately. So if you do speak in tongues, you don't have interpretation, nobody else interprets it, then it says just be quiet and don't do it no more. Because either you're being obedient, disobedient, somebody else is being disobedient, or it wasn't for the whole church. That was just for you. Okay? Let two or three people prophesy. Let others evaluate what is said. So when someone does prophesy to you, and they give you a word, and they say, hey, I got a prophecy for you. And I say, Jason, hey, man, I want you to know, I believe that this right here is going on. I believe this right here. I want to speak that God says this. So Scripture says, judge prophecy. Just because someone tells you, that, you know, my dad, whenever he was young, in a church, there was a lady who told him, said, God told me that you're called to preach. And dad said, well, when God tells me, I'll accept that. He judged that prophecy, right? And he was not called to preach. So just because someone tells you something, that also means when you do hear that, that doesn't mean I don't receive that because I don't want to be a preacher, I don't want to be a teacher, I don't want this to happen, or I don't believe that God's going to do this. Or that. You go to God in prayer and say, God, this person gave me this word. Speak to me about it. Talk to God. Don't just take it and reject it because you don't want it in your flesh. You don't desire it. You don't trust this person. God used a donkey. So I don't care who it is, if it's a child that comes up to you. So God can use anybody. So you need to go to God and say, God, this person gave me a word. Speak to me. Talk to me about it. Should I reject that? I'm judging it right now by asking you. Okay? So then it says 1 Corinthians 14:32, and the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. It's again, like I said, you control how much of that goes on and how it goes on and what you do when it goes on, right? What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? He is to comfort us, to teach us, to help us, to guide us, to convict us, and intercede for us. And I got scriptures for every one of them. I got scriptures for all this. Isaiah, if you can come on up if you want to. Isaiah 1 and 2 talks about God brings wisdom to us, understanding, counsel, and knowledge. And so whenever you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, he helps you with boldness. He will make you a better witness. He will make you have strength and be able to talk out loud more, to minister to people more, to have boldness to stand up for Christ. He'll help you with temptation. He'll help you overcome temptation better. He will help you with your worry and with your loneliness, with your fear, with your direction. He'll help you with your decisions. He will help you with prayer. He will help you pray in that prayer language where the devil can't understand what you're saying. He will help you with knowing God better. He will help you with protection. He will help you in praise and worship. He will help you against your enemies. He will help you with your relationships. He will help you with school and work. He will help you with your emotions. He will help you with your mouth. Okay, Holy Spirit sometimes just tells you to just shut up. Just don't say nothing. He will help you. He'll convict you and say, don't respond. Right? You know, I said it on social media the other day. You're not, just because someone comes at you sideways, you do not have to respond to everybody when they say something to you. Sometimes the worst thing we can say is respond to them and get nasty with them. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just smile, turn, and walk off. And that speaks more to them than any word you ever will say. God, and then also it will help you with God's will for your life. So all them 17, 18 things, why would you not want to get the Holy Spirit? It's not weird. You know, Sydney had always wanted it. When we were praying one night down here, and she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when Pastor Tammy was here, she said, I didn't know it was that easy. She said, I thought you had to do something for it. And she said, I was just down there, and I just submitted to God. I just released to God, and all of a sudden, I just started speaking in tongues. So you have that. It's like an extra. It's like you can drive a Honda or you can drive a Mustang. You know, it's an upgrade. You know, you can have that. You still get there with a Honda. You're still going to get to heaven, but why not drive a Mustang, right? Or a Jaguar. So, but anyway, but the Spirit gives life, okay? The Father sends the advocate as our representative, that is the Holy Spirit, and he will teach us everything and remind us of everything that he has told us. Your life will never be the same. You will always operate differently once you have Holy Spirit. Acts 1 and 8 says, but you shall receive power, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so that it talks about that a lot. And you got to understand the Holy Spirit is there for us. He's there to give us wisdom and knowledge. And we need Holy Spirit in this day for discernment because the enemy is targeting us. Right? He's targeting us. Right? He said, so the thing is now, let me tell you what. You know the whole thing at Target is just crazy. But the thing that bothers me the most is that this is a Satanist that is putting Satan pictures on baby's clothes and said, Satan agrees with you. Anything Satan agrees with, I'm telling you, is bad. I want you to know that right off the bat. If Satan agrees with it, and there's Satanism attached to it, you can know it's not good. So you can just think about that how you want to. But whenever Satan comes in, he's coming in like a flood and trying to destroy us. And he tries to attack your identity. And now we're getting in these stores, and pictures of Satan and Satanism is right there at the baby section on the bottom shelf where little kids walk by and see it. It's so bad, and we got to have discernment. We got to teach our kids and speak to our children and let them know who they are in Christ. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives and our families because the enemy is targeting our children. So I want to tell you that people, there's a lot of lies. I'm going to skip through some of this. There's the lies of the devil that they say about tongues, that the Holy Spirit's passed away. But Scripture also says in Joel 2:28, that in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. People say tongues are of the devil. Why would God in His Word tell you, hey, I'm giving you this. If it's from God, why would it be of the devil? Holy Spirit is not for us today, they say. But it says in Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. That sounds today to me. And don't think that if nobody speaks in tongues, Holy Spirit's not there. I had someone, I think I told a story before. We had a service, and someone said, man, we had church today. I said, why do we have church today? He said, man, did you hear Holy Spirit speak? I said, yeah. Did anybody get saved today? They said, no. And I said, last week, did anybody speak in tongues? They said, no. I said, did anybody get saved? They said, yes. Several got saved. I said, so even when people don't speak in tongues, that does not mean Holy Spirit's not there, right? Well, I guess so. You know, and so the thing is the Scripture says, no man cometh to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. The only way Holy Spirit is in a building is not just because someone's speaking in tongues or not. It has nothing to do with that. Holy Spirit is here regardless of anybody speaking in tongues or not, because I brought him with me. So he's here, and he lives in each one of us. So he's here, and he's in you. He's here, and he don't have to always work through tongues. He can work through miracle signs and wonders, wisdom, word of knowledge, word of all that stuff. So we got to understand that. John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the Scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. You see, there's a word that is associated with Holy Spirit, and that's evidence. Okay, I don't really believe that there's evidence of the Holy Spirit. I think what it is, it's benefits of Holy Spirit. Because three times it says that they spoke in tongues after they were filled. Five times it says that they spoke in tongues and there was power or something. For instance, Acts 4:31. And when they prayed, the place where they assembled was shaken. That's how much power the Holy Spirit was there. It says the place was shaken. It was so much power. And they were all filled with the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. One Scripture says, unrestrained boldness. One translation. So I don't think it's necessarily the initial ones, but I do believe that after you do have Holy Spirit, eventually you will speak in tongues. So I think it is a benefit that you will have. I think that's how you get your private prayer language. It's part of it, right? You know, and so that's what it is. You know, and when they were in the upper room, I don't necessarily think that was a baptism of the Holy Spirit there. I feel like Holy Spirit came and gave them tongues, but it says diverse kinds of tongues. It was tongues that they were speaking in someone else's language, and those people understood what they were saying. If you read that Scripture, it's saying that. It's not saying that they all spoke in tongues and there was an interpreter. It's not tongues interpretation. That was diverse kinds of tongues, which is a different kind of tongue, which they spoke, and they said, hey, I know what they're saying. And they were from all different places around there, and people around there understood their language. That is diverse kinds of tongues. But later on after that, shortly after that, they begin to speak in tongues with interpretation and filled with the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Just a couple more things that I'm done. There are several benefits to the Holy Spirit. Power to witness, boldness, love. You know, you got to have love. Matter of fact, 12 and 14 of 1 Corinthians talks about Holy Spirit. But right into love, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians talks about love. Love is a center of Holy Spirit. And then also, it will help you have a greater display of your fruits of the Spirit. It will give you, he will have gifts, not just that Spirit, but there's a whole bunch of gifts that you would have. And then I want you to know that you will have access to the power of God without the devil's interference. You will have a deeper presence of God in your life. You will have a channel for the gifts of the Spirit. And you will have greater respect for spiritual things. And you will become God's agent for change for this generation. I love, I saw on social media one time that said, the Holy Ghost just don't make you shout, dance, speak in tongues. Sometimes it makes you watch your mouth, apologize, and examine yourself. So you may say today, Pastor, well, okay, how do I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I'm saying these six things that I'm done. Number one, you must be saved and sanctified. Sanctified means set apart. You made a decision to serve Him, and you made a decision to quit sinning, and your heart and your mind is in one accord. Then you ask for the gifts, and then you begin to just pray and worship God. And you worship Him until you're not worshiping out of your mind, but you're worshiping out of your heart. Because when you're in your mind, you're thinking about it, and you're not going to be able to speak the language He gives you. But you have to give Him a voice. You have to speak out loud. Because you're not going to be sitting there, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to just jump out and bust through your lips. You got to give Him a voice. That's your part in it. But you have to believe by faith and then receive. And then speak out of faith. And when you hear those words in your mind, just begin to speak whatever it is. Sometimes it's not, you know, it's just like talking. When you first start talking, you're like, I'm going to give up, right? It's just, I want to blah, 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 you know, whatever. And then the more you talk, the more you talk better. So the same way with tongues. When you begin to talk, you know, you begin, sometimes it's just stammering lips. Sometimes it's just shaking and just stammering lips. Sometimes it's just a little bit. Sometimes it's just a couple of syllables. And sometimes it's a lot. But the more you worship God with it, the more you find out that you have, you grow in it as well. So we want to thank God for that today. So let's just pray right now. And I want you just to search your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You right now for teaching us today, Holy Spirit, about You. On this Pentecost day, what greater day to talk about You and who You are, how You are, where You are, and whose You are than today. We lift You up and we magnify Your holy name. Have Your way in this house today. And I just pray that if anybody wants the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father, today, that they would come down and that they would receive. And that they would not give up on that. They would constantly be seeking Your face for that. I thank You that, Father, just a couple of months ago, we had seven people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in here. And all those were young people. And I thank You for that. You are still alive. And we need You. We need You now more than we ever have before. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As you keep your head bowed, before I go forward about that, the first thing you got to be is be saved. So is anybody in here that would say, Pastor?